a superscript one or a superscript two and just say, you know, a P for permitted, superscript one, it's permitted, you know, within, I don't know, 500 feet of the railroad. But if it said superscript two, it would be permitted only beyond 500 feet, or some language to that effect. Does that make sense?
Well, how does that solve the, you were talking about size of the property, and you're not, you're talking about proximity to the railroad.
Yeah, but if you're saying it's over 500 feet from the railroad, then it's got to be more than a 5-acre parcel. Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, and I'm not saying that is necessarily the way it should work out. I'm throwing an example of how it might, something might work. The idea of superscripts is the main thing. Whether we do it as distance from the railroad or distance from edge of parcel, or how we do it, I think is a bigger.
Yeah, the example we talked about was the bigger Lagler site, which is 156 acres. And you know, given the state's setback notification requirements, if you were to sort of put a 500-foot border around that and everything inside that was this zone two, if you will, the slightly heavier uses, you would still be left with a fairly decent parcel inside. The total acreage of that, or total square footage of that parcel, is like 6.2 million square feet or something. That buffer would take about 4 million of the square feet and make it against zone one, if you will, and then the interior portion, which would then have that screen around it, would be the heavier stuff. That's sort of what we talked about. If that makes sense, I need to get up there with, you know, draw stuff.
In order to understand what you're talking about, I'd need to see it.
Okay.
I can. Let me take a quick stab at that.
So what you're doing is taking this zone, and you're now dividing the zone into zones.
Yeah. Basically, yeah, because I. Personally, addressing the concerns we've heard from the public, I mean, a lot of them don't want the heavier type of stuff near their houses, and I completely understand that, which is why what John and I were talking about was creating sort of a lighter, if you will, freight rail dependent uses zoning, and then a more heavier freight rail dependent uses zoning.
I'm going to ask, why are we reinventing the wheel when this was already invented for the railroad and industrial rural land bank properties,
sure,
with buffers and agreed upon, whatever you want to call it, where properties could be used.
But that was not included down in that southern portion, is one of our concerns that we discussed. You have, so what we talked about is, you get down into this area, you've got a lot more residences that, you know, they probably don't want the heavier stuff. What we're suggesting is to use more like the light industrial standard from the code here, and then if you put a buffer around this of lighter industrial, in the very center you use something like the railroad industrial that we already passed years ago. That's sort of the suggestion.
Now I'm talking about the rural industrial.
That's this blue stuff here.
Yes.
My point is it's not in this section here currently.
But why doesn't it apply? I mean, why couldn't it apply?
It could. That's what we're deciding. But my point is that I've heard some concerns. Why do we not make this lighter here where these residences are and focus the more heavy, whatever, industrial stuff where there's a good buffer around it?
I guess I haven't heard the concerns about the lighter versus heavier, but the concerns of why is my property included? It's mostly the concerns I've heard.
A number of concerns. There's been, obviously, we'd like our property included, and it's not included. There's other people who, you know, they want the view to not change. There's all kinds of concerns out there. But that was the one that I was trying to address by creating a, you know, like using the railroad industrial for that section in the center of the Wagler site. It may be something lighter for the rest, but it's, you know, something for discussion.
Another option might simply to put heavy buffers on the whole thing. You know, it doesn't need to be a zoning thing. You could just say anything that's in X category requires a bigger buffer.
Which is what they did for the rural industrial land bank.
Right. Well, and to answer that, and Jose may want to chime in on this, my answer to that is the rural industrial, we're not dealing with the rural industrial land bank here.
No, I'm
you kind of have to assume that that's not going to exist, that, and we have to do everything new for this.
But the railroad and industrial zoning exists.
True.
And basically went through everything we're going through.
That's what I'm saying. They've already gone through all that, and it's been developed, and it's gone through public comment and everything else. Why can't that apply to this property? I'm not, you know, you can just take it up and put it over here, and if the real industrial land bank goes away, then we still have it here.
You could just copy and paste. Yeah, that's.
What is the minimum lot size for the rural, not the industrial land bank, but the rural or the railroad industrial zoning?
I don't think there's any. There's no. We don't have a minimum parcel size for light, heavy, or railroad industrial. We have a 5-acre minimum for business park, and I think 100 acres for a rural industrial land.
I have a question.
Yes.
I don't know the law well enough, but I'm going to ask. Railroad industrial use is for specifically any railroad, because the short line is subject to different rules. Am I correct?
So, I was going to say it's just a zoning category.
Like, how's like, how does it differ?
So it just has different check marks in the use table, basically, and it's actually IR. It's right in here.
The only railroad we have is a short line. So the railroad industrial was a group of people that sat down and basically were talking about property in this exact area. That's all they talked about.
Okay.
And they actually rezoned some of the property. It's never been developed, but it was rezoned with this railroad in mind and with the uses that are compatible in that area.
Thank you.
But to answer your question, Dan, I think the problem with cut and paste is there might be things in railroad industrial that are not allowed by the FRDU.
I'm not saying in just pure cut and paste, but, you know, take that as the guide, and then if there are some tweaks that need to be made, you make it, rather than try to reinvent something brand new. All I'm saying is, because it's done for that specific purpose, to shield the neighborhood from the railroad industrial, or for the industrial uses that were in that category, and if you just take that and then tweak it for other things, then you're done.
There's some good buffer language in there, for sure.
Well, on the buffer language that apply, is there buffer language that applies to railroad industrial on the books now? I know.
So there's the rural industrial land bank has, yes.
No, I'm not talking about that.
No, I'm sorry. In the development standards, there's some development standards for rural industrial land bank, and I think some for railroad industrial, right? Okay. Yes.
And so, and that, because does that talk about, you know, low impact, medium impact, high impact, and the type of buffers you have to build?
So do you want to start with the development standards, or do you want to start?
No, I'm just trying to see what we need to talk about so we can go through these uses and say this will be a good use.
That makes sense to me too.
So what I'm saying is that if somebody comes in with a very high intensive use, high impact use, does the county already have standards for what type of buffers so we don't have to reinvent the buffers? I know what.
There are for those properties that are zoned that, and I don't think the railroad industrial property is actually applied to any land anywhere.
Well, what, I may be off books now, but it was on the books for quite a while.
No, I know it's on the books. It's just not applied to any property.
Well, it was applied originally to that that whole section of land down there until it was overturned.
Right. And so therefore it doesn't exist anymore. It's just still in our code, so it's not.
It's still in the code.
It's not active, but if you were.
I don't see how I can decide on what Eric is talking about, whether it's a heavy industrial or a light industrial use within a piece of property, until we understand what the parameters of the piece of property is.
So you want to start with buffers and setbacks and that stuff first, and then work back to use table? Is what you're saying?
I'm saying I can't. I wouldn't be able to differentiate, make those differentiations, vote on those differentiations until we have all of it together and saying, here's what's permitted in those areas and make that decision.
How does the rest of the group feel about that? We could definitely move, set this aside for the moment, and move over to what's the term I'm looking for? Development standards. Thank you.
I'd like to make a motion that we look at buffers so that we can have some understanding of it, even if we don't decide the buffers, but some of us don't have enough understanding of the buffers to know, as Mr. Weaver said, right, what we're doing. Okay.
And if I may encourage you, just withdraw that as a motion. It's not really needed. We can just move over to that discussion. And
well, in parliamentary procedure, it is. It's up to you.
Is there a second for that motion?
A second.
It's moved and seconded to, if I may restate it, to table the current discussion until we've completed a discussion of development standards. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? All right, let's move over to development standards.
So the development standards are under, we provided these to you last meeting, so they're under tab 8. And it's right after the fold-out sheet.
I have nothing in my
eight.
You weren't
here.
That's right.
Actually, didn't you provide it to us in the most
maybe recent? Your alternate has it, Eric?
Okay, I got it.
He's right there. He's looking for it.
The title, like, top of the page says freight rail can use overlay.
Yep.
It's down at the wall. After the table.
Where is it after? You said a fold-out page. I can't. I don't find it.
The top of the page says 40.250.0xx freight rail retention overlay.
That's not it.
That's from last week.
That's all we got. John, it's after this page. It starts right here.
It's page 1 of 20?
Yeah, 1 of 20.
Yeah.
Got it. Notes? You've been tabbed.
Where did you say
this? It's this document right here. 1 of 20.
So really we want to start with page 9 of 20, right?
Yeah, where it starts with
development. Try that for the folder.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
9 of 20, we're going to start, but page 11 of 20 under number 2.
Okay, got it.
It's additional development standards for the Railroad Industrial District. And it talks about the first item A is for landscaping standards is on the primitive.
Where would we find the L5 and L3 that it references in the next paragraph?
Yeah. The landscaping standards.
Are they not here?
Section.
That's unfortunate.
I'm sorry, were they aware? Where are we?
L3 is high screen, L4 is high wall, and L5 is.
Why don't we need them to review?
High berm.
So if you want to start, so that's currently what's in the industrial. Railroad Industrial District. If you want to go to page 15 of 20, it has the landscaping requirements that were developed for the Railroad for the rural industrial land bank. And I think that's a little clearer.
And is the thought that we would adopt these standards into the freight rail dependent use, or are these standards already, would they already apply and we need to modify as we see fit, or how's this work?
The idea was that you would select the ones, the landscaping requirements for the rural industrial land bank are the most restrictive, the most protective. They far exceed the L5 and L3 standards. So if you want to have the most protection, the real standards.
This would be that.
Based on a 100-acre minimum parcel or minimum development.
Right, because it talks about a 100-foot perimeter setback around.
That's a waste of land. Unless you have a very intensive use, then I'm all for it. But L5 is a berm, right? L4 is a high wall.
Yeah, you could L5, you could have a wall on top of the berm.
Okay. And what's L3? Screening. Okay.
Is it possible to bring up L5 and L3 and that stuff on that computer, or is that not?
We don't have access. So.
You don't have access?
It's really difficult to fly blind.
Yeah, I don't know what's up.
I have. If you want to see it.
You have L3 and L5?
Yep.
Wow. Do you make copies of them?
Could you just read them out to us? I don't know how long the paragraphs are.
Okay, well, L3 is the high screen. The Section A says the intent is the L3 standard provides physical and visual separation between uses or development principally using screening. It is used where such separation is warranted by a proposed development, notwithstanding loss of direct views. Then it tells you what kind of material to build it out of. L4 is a high wall. The intent there is the standard is used where extensive screening of visual and noise impacts is needed to protect abutting sensitive uses, and or there is little space for separation between uses. That requires a 6-foot high wall. And then L5, the high berm, the L5 standard can be used instead of the L4 standard where the extensive screening is warranted and more space is available for separation between uses. Berm 4 to 6 feet high, if berm is less than 6 feet high, low shrubs can that comply to L2 standard can be planted on top of the berm to get you to 6 feet.
Thank you. So, looking
Are we just looking to fill in this chart?
Well, right now we're trying to get an understanding of the development standards. I think we're starting to get an idea that it's got screening and set, but could you, rather than us reading through this, could you give your, development standards 101?
Okay, so,
review in a while, but a couple of things.
The landscaping standards that we have are based on zoning and what's next to zone. So commercial next to residential, you have a certain standard. Residential next to residential, you have a lower standard. So that's what dictates what type of screening you're going to have. In this case, we're not going to be able to rely on the landscaping standards in the code. We're going to have to, there's a land use table in the code, and it's related to these different zones. We're going to have to specify which standards we want if you're going to want to use that. And so these are all, what we're proposing is essentially industrial uses in rural areas. So in order to screen those uses, you're going to want to have the highest standards you can possibly have. Yes. So you're either going to start at L5 or go to what was proposed for the rural industrial land bank. I understand the 100-foot setback, you can modify that to 50 feet, 25 feet. I mean, it's up to you to make the recommendation, but.
So the L3 and L5, those are standards you also use for light manufacturing?
It depends on what's adjacent to it. If you have light industrial next to residential, you're going to have an L4 or L5. Right. If it's next to another industrial, you might not have the same level of screening. Or if it's next to commercial, you're not going to have the same level of screening, probably.
Right. But I mean, there are very few uses in here that I see would be higher than light manufacturing.
But what we're trying to do is protect the rest of the area, right? Yeah. So what you're screening is for those agriculture and rural.
And what are we screening for agricultural?
You're screening your uses from those agricultural
areas. Right, but what needs to be screened from an agricultural piece of property?
It's not screened from an agricultural piece of property. If you have an industrial use,
What impacts do I have that are going to adversely affect agricultural property that I have to protect them from?
Well, some of them have residences on them.
It's not. You're not protecting residential property. Not protecting residences. You're protecting agricultural property.
I talked with John about this before the meeting. You know, we held the first two meetings and we had discussions about stuff that I'm not sure that the people in the audience really were driven by the word adjacent or dependent. But at every public meeting I've been to, it seems like the people in the audience get to speak before we take votes. And I think that tonight we should reverse the order at some point before we vote on this stuff, and we should listen to the people as opposed to voting and then taking public comment. It just seems proper to hear, because these are the things that people really care about in this room.
I agree with that, and actually what I had in my back of my mind is that when we're ready to take an actual vote, I would invite people in. I don't think we need to, with permission of the group. Are you looking for...
I just want to make sure.
Yeah,
because we're getting into the meat of the matter that they care about.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm not making a motion, but I'd actually like to hear from some of the folks who will be affected by this, because I think if we do anything in this committee, it is to protect the people who are going to be adversely affected by this. And if any of them are in the room, I'd like to hear from them now.
Any objections?
No.
Okay, well, let's open it up for public comment real quickly. Specifically on the topic of screening and setbacks and development standards. Is there anybody who'd like to speak on that? We'll start with the woman in gray.
Hi.
And if you don't mind, name and address. Yeah, might as well. Well, see, that'll do it for just such a purpose.
Okay, so I'm Maria Ernst. I live right now in the light yellow southern area, developed residential area, within the quarter mile off the railroad. And we are walking the neighborhoods every single day with our dog. I ride my horses around here on the street sometimes. We walk through the little a forest that was donated to the county with our dog to the dog park, and walk basically through that agricultural area almost every single day. And I feel that we need to be adding the most buffers possible so we still get the feeling that there's some land left for us to use. And I also would like to, I've said that in my letters too, I would like to have something given back to the community who lives there with the buffering system, maybe a trail through there, or adding a trail along the railroad. So something where we would say, hey, not taken away just from us now. You're adding things we never wanted, we never moved here for. But you're giving something back to the people who chose this place to live, raise their children, have animals, walk their dogs, have that, you know, have the wanted to live there for the open feeling and land that this area always provided, and protect some of the beauty of it by considering that, yeah, you are taking something away if you put a factory here or a warehouse. But if it is behind big trees and maybe has a little path with it, has some bushes, some flowers planted, and is kept, then I can live with this. Otherwise, I will fight tooth and nail for every single person who wants to move in. I'll write letters, I'll go wherever I have to go and say, no, not in my neighborhood. But if I know there's goodwill, and I want to hear that here, that's why I come to every meeting, then I'm like, okay, I can live with this. I understand how the world changes, and I want to always be part of that. I'm excited about change, but I want to make sure I don't live amid smokestacks or 100-foot-tall buildings that take away my quality of life. Thank you very much.
Well, you'll be delighted to know that John is on the Parks Board in addition to being on here, and John and I have actually discussed this behind the scenes, that we'd like to get trails through there.
So. Oh, yes. Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for listening.
Thank you very much.
I don't think I could have said it any better than she did, because I agree with everything that she said. My name is Kim O'Hara, and I live, right now I'm outside, I'm kitty-cornered to the overlay, but when you drop down that quarter-mile overlay, you put my house and everybody else in that nice lemon-yellow area in there, which is of concern, because I don't think that was the intended consequence, but it's a consequence. And so now you've put me in there, and along with everybody else in that area. And I think that's not what you were trying to do. You were trying to snag the dairy, and I get that. But I think that you have to figure out how to do that without impacting everybody else, which you did. And secondly, everything that she said is true. I don't want to sit on my back deck and look out and see all sorts of stuff. So I appreciate the idea of doing a buffer. Having said that, I don't think the area, from everything that you all have already said, the orange area is not what you want. You want the blue area. So the likelihood of my sitting there staring at that is probably not going to happen. I get that. But the people that are up in that blue area, they're not going to want to stare at it either. And so the prettier you can make it, the more you can disguise what you're doing. If this has to go forward, then that's what you need to do. Because people don't want that. I'm sure that none of you live in any of that area that's going to see that train. I see that train every day, or not every day, once a week, going up and down in my backyard. The idea of seeing that train going up and down there four times a day, whatever it's going to look like. I know you say that, but who knows? I don't know. You know. So those things are very disturbing to those of us who were there. And just remember, none of you are.
Very good. Thank you. One more.
The year before, Howard Graham, and I'm an orange person in the overlay area. I'll echo the comments that I made before, and again reiterate the desire that we focus on the blue large parcels, which is what most industrial companies are really interested in. And again, remind you that somewhere along the line, people mentioned the fact that we would have a minimum acreage provision for this, and I think if that could come out of this meeting sometime before it's provided back to the official council, that would be terrific and would delay a lot of the fears. I'll remind you that I have a petition that I filed with the council, the city council, that had about 80% of the people who lived in the orange and residential properties are all strongly opposed to having development done adjacent or near where they live. There was less concern about it being in the northern part where it's blue. Thank you.
Anybody else? All right, so moving back to, oh, Amber, sorry, I didn't see you.
Just wait and make sure that anybody else had something else to say. Specific to the conditional use and buffering issue only, Amber Carter on behalf of Identity Clark County, and my comments will be on just the conditional use piece. I might come back later on other aspects. We are fully in support of the buffering to make sure that as you get closer to the residential property, you don't see all of the activity that was just discussed. I think some of the conversation about having different strategies for different industrial types makes a lot of sense, so that you can position the industry to the best location given its neighbors and its proximity to the railroad. So that's what I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Amber. All right, now anybody else? Good. Closing public comment for the moment, but again, commit to opening it back up before we make any other major decisions.
I have a question.
Please.
In the orange there, the individual plots that the people were talking about here, what are the size of those plots generally? Are they 5 acres, 3 acres, 10 acres?
They vary from 2 to 20. Most of them are between 2 and 10.
Between 2 and 10?
Yes.
Okay. So we're still on the development standards issue. The original reason we went over here was to get sort of a taste of it, if I understood that right. I think what, and I've opened this up for your decision, not mine. I think what I'd like to do is say, okay, so we've got an idea of what development standards might be. Are we good to go back to the use table, or do we want to flesh out the development standards further before?
Well, I just, you know, it sounds like that we want to have, you know, substantial buffers. You know, we want to lessen the impact of adjacent property. So in order to do that, I think we need to set a pretty high minimum parcel size for this development. You know, just off the top of my head, I'd say 60 acres or more.
Say what?
60.
That, in a market sense, that would eliminate significant demand. Okay. Understand the concept.
Right.
But, you know, in Clark County, a manufacturer of 10 acres is a large parcel. And Clark County has a significant number of people in 10 acres or less that are job creators and could be rail dependent. 60-acre site is a much rarer classification. Larger than 60 acres is a very rare. Okay, we may see them, but the timeline would be extremely long on that.
Well,
before we go too deep into the weeds on that, my question stands: do we need to really flesh out the development standards now? And you know, if that's the will, that's great. I just want to make sure we know where we're going with this conversation, or do we want to go and get the uses out of the way?
It seems that, just throwing this out there, that we would work on the uses and then maybe the size, and wouldn't we let the county staff come back with a recommendation on the buffering? Because we could rewrite the whole code that took years and years and years. We'd be here for years and years and years if we went into the, well, it's got to be a 3-to-1, and it's got to be a this and this type of vegetation. I mean, we could be here forever. That seems beyond the scope of this committee. Maybe even a confirmation review, whatever staff provides, and then mark it up. But it seems like going through the development standards doesn't seem.
Yeah, and I don't think we have to do that.
No,
because it's one. The amount of buffering is mainly dependent by the actual use that comes in, and that's determined by the county. The guy comes in and says, I want a, you know, low impact, they can say L3. They can't say lower than L3 if we say buffering is going to be between L3 and L5. You know, and the other thing on the 60 acres, the reason I brought that up is one, to address your point, there's nothing that says that 60 acres has to be one, you know, it could be one owner, and he may have, you know, a lot of subtenants that are on smaller. And two, everything that we heard from the CREDC on the big job creators that want to move into the area but can't is because they're looking for 50, 100, 200 acre parcels. I'm trying to fall somewhere in between that.
And if I may, please don't respond to that at this time. So I want to keep our conversation focused here. So what I'm hearing, if I can go there, is a general agreement that the development standards are going to have to include some sort of significant buffering, buffering and screening, that we're going to have something blocking views and we're going to have some sort of significant setbacks to protect the neighborhood, if you will. And if you're all good with that, I'd suggest we go back to the use you have.
Well, I'd be good. The word significant means too many things to.
True.
But as people have alluded to, the county has different range of setbacks for different reasons. And I think that concept is valid. Mm-hmm. Depending upon the use, there might be a different setback. Setbacks are in the eye of the beholder. The larger it is, the more comfortable I am. There is no effect of a setback after about 10 or 15 feet. Okay. If you're setting back for noise or glare or protection, you know, after 10 or 15 feet, the next 50 feet doesn't give you any more protection. Okay. So the concept of a setback, I think, is valid. But for us to say it should be 50 or 100 feet, I think, is without additional information, is very difficult.
All right. I think just one more point. The group that did the railroad industrial zoning, they covered this all in one paragraph. You know, and all it says is the perimeter around the railroad industrial park shall be landscaped to an L5 or L3 standard except around along the rail line. And there says, in determining which standard applies, the responsible official will consider the potential impacts, such as noise, visual impacts, to neighboring properties. Generally, the greater impact triggered the L5 standard, and lesser impact triggered the L3 standards.
Not half bad.
Yeah.
So I see a bunch of shaking of heads that back there. You want stricter, I take it.
So in subsequent rentals or ownership, we're talking about doing this the first time that somebody builds and leases or builds and manufactures, whatever they do. But in subsequent ownership or subsequent function of that, would industries be specifically restricted from going into a place of lesser buffer, protection, whatever you want to call it, setback, all of that?
They'd have to increase the buffer. Because they have to go through site plan review. Anything they want to bring on, they have to go through site plan review, and that's when they trigger the buffer standards.
So it depends on what the initial building is. If you get site plan approval for a building and then you're just changing the tenant, the user, you're using that existing facility, more than likely you're not going to be required to do a site plan review. It would just be a tenant improvement.
Yeah.
If there's going to be some modification or you're going to add building or additional things, then it might trigger a site plan review where we might ask for additional.
So I think we can solve a lot of this and move on, which John keeps trying to do here. If we just say that if there's a minimum lot size and we go with L5, which is the highest standard of buffer of landscaping that exists in county code prior to the 100-foot setbacks for the rural industrial land bank, but it was the gold standard of setback. I think that I'm comfortable with that, and then we can move this discussion forward, but I mean...
Question for Jose.
10 acres is more, not 60, it's more.
The buffer of which Mr. Temple is speaking with the L5, is that the rural industrial land bank in this section on page 15/20, is that standard?
No.
No. Is that standard the one that you said was the most restrictive? The one on this page I'm talking about?
Yes.
And how does it differ from what Mr. Temple's talking about?
So I think the L5 standard is, it's 10 or 15 feet setback, whereas here you have 100-foot setback. Mm-hmm. So that's a huge difference. I think the intent of this is to sort of minimize view of the building from distance, mm-hmm. so that was part of it, to try to get that. Mm-hmm. The L5, you could have the berm, it's going to be 6 feet.
And the berm is primarily for noise.
So I have to say, going back to what Mr. Mm-hmm. Fuller said, and with respect, you're in the industry, I believe you said the difference between a 15-foot setback and a 50 or 100 doesn't make any difference. It's all the same.
No, I said incrementally. It doesn't make much difference.
Incrementally meaning 100 versus 15? I mean, I think it makes an enormous difference. And if I lived 15 feet from a noisy manufacturing business versus 100 feet with a wall, I'm sure that I would select 100 feet.
Yes, you would. But incrementally, it doesn't do much more sound. The thought of it would be 10 times greater if it went from 10 feet to 100 feet. You don't get 10 times the increment.
But it's better.
You could say that on 1,000 feet, it's better.
Right.
But incrementally, it doesn't satisfy the need.
But are we serving the needs of the county residents who have lived here and selected where they're going to live by giving them only 15 feet and a 6-foot wall between their property and a manufacturer? Is that fair? That's my question. It's rhetorical, just for consideration.
Let me, Mr. Chairman, please. John read something I'm not familiar with, which was a definition. What is that definition from?
From the Clark County Code.
And it gave the governmental review officer the ability to pick between A and B buffering based upon the use.
Sorry, it says railroad industrial will have between an L3 and an L5, and it's responsible to determine the impact of the actual use to determine what type of screening is needed.
And what is wrong with adopting that philosophy for our standard?
Like you say, it's already been gone through a committee just like this for much longer. Did we have anybody on that committee?
Yeah, I was on it.
Were you on it?
Yeah. So there was a representative, I believe, of your firm on it also.
Bill Conley, I think.
Yeah.
I was on it.
Yeah.
But that sounds to me like a logical solution. At least get us off the standard into the use table, see if it applies.
Okay, that would solve my problem that I originally brought up, and that was I couldn't select, because you're going to go to every one of those lines and you're going to say, is this a high use or a low use? And then you're going to have to decide the usage based on what the development standards are, and or vice versa. Mm-hmm. And on every line you go to. Okay. And if we adopt that and we put that in, it cleans everything up. We can always go back and put more meat on that, but if we adopt that as a guide to go through this, I'm happy with that.
So can we, for discussion purposes only, agree that we'll go back to the use table, and I'm going to expand on that slightly. Going off the paragraph Mr. Schaefer read, as well as the idea that there would be a minimum lot size, and we'll leave what the minimum is aside for the time being, but the idea that we'll eventually end up there.
One more question around this topic, and it's for Jose. Why was the rural industrial land bank language written that I find on page 15/20, tab A, or paragraph A?
Why was it?
What was it written for? Why was it? What was the purpose?
So we'd identified the state law that allows you to site industrial sites outside of an urban growth boundary, and so the idea was to really protect a buffer. That was part of the intent, is to, because we know that's going to be outside of an urban growth boundary, and you're going to allow these industrial leases outside of an urban growth boundary, we wanted to sort of buffer the existing areas that are surrounding it, rural, from those uses.
Thank you.
Excuse me. It was designed for that, all of that light blue area. 100% of that light blue area.
Huge.
It was a huge area, so you had the ability to do the buffering. And if you recall, my opening statement in the very beginning was that we want a chunk of land as opposed to a lot of little pieces here and there. And that was what this was designed for, is to buffer that to having a whole concentration of industrial development within that blue area would buffer everybody around it. And you can establish those kind of large buffers and usage around a large industrial area.
You can, but just to say, just because that's the intent, if you write it that way, that's the effect it's going to have, and the people on the other side are going to have the same standards forced on them as are forced on either side. So I just want to make sure that we protect the people we're trying to protect and do this the right way. And I'll let it go at this point because I think we have other work to do. I'm just very concerned that we protect the properties who are not going to benefit from this, but simply have an unfortunate effect forced on them by this. That's all.
All right. Are we good for the time being?
Back to the uses.
All righty. Back to uses.
Do we need to vote on that, whether we adopt that?
My suggestion is that we have an agreement for discussion purposes only, that we come back to it and with greater specificity after we do the uses.
May I ask that John read that again? Then?
Sure, please. Actually, yeah.
Well, I'll read in front. Okay. It's section 2 of 40.230.085. And it's the additional development standards for the railroad industrial district. A, the perimeter around the railroad industrial park shall be landscaped to an L5 or L3 standard except along the rail line. In determining which standard applies, a responsible official will consider the potential impacts, such as noise and visual impacts to neighboring properties. Generally, the greater impact triggers the L5 standard, and the lesser impacts trigger the L3 standard. And then, it says the performance standards of section 40.230.085E shall be met at the park perimeter. Is that noise? You practice.
So, yeah, so that on page 17 is where E begins, and that's the performance standard. And then the first one is noise. And then it talks about venting standards and major odor sources.
Okay, all right. So that one paragraph's the only thing that talks about screening, and but it doesn't say anything about a setback.
Right, and the setback is established at the table. 10 to 20, under IR.
Yeah, 15 more paper here. Great, okay. Back to uses.
All right. Okay. What can I do with my uses?
There it is.
All right, so back to uses. So if you all will pull up this sheet that has all of our votes on it. I think the easiest, so what I, my opinion, we should do from here is, it sounds like the idea of having two different use standards effectively more or less killed that. Let's start with there. Are we all in agreement that issue is dead?
I'm not sure what you mean.
So I had started off with the discussion, Eric and I did, that you might want two different sets of uses depending on how deep within the zone it was.
Right.
And I think we've pretty much killed that, saying, no, we'll handle that through screening and setbacks.
Good. A couple minute break.
Everybody good with a quick minute break?
Or I can take my own.
let's do that. No, you got to stay there.
Tell you what, it's 7:03 by my o'clock. We'll reconvene at 7:08 promptly.